You know, you all are a miracle because Jennifer and I were standing in the back there about 5 minutes till it's time for church to start. Nobody was here. I came up here. I turned around. Poof, here you all are. I love it. I just love it. Glory to God. Last week we started to talk about prophecies that have been fulfilled. And it's so exciting because when you can have that much confidence in what somebody has said, it just makes it incredible. So I got a couple announcements, but turn to I'm going to talk about one tonight that's going to blow your mind. And some of you may know it, but be prepared to have your mind blown again, okay? Just because God's Word is so good and it is so valid, it's so true. But first of all, the Christmas dinner, we decided to postpone it. We're not canceling it, we're postponing it. And the reason is because it was on the 13th, the restrictions were supposed to be over on the 14th. It's like 10 hours later we decided we're going to fudge that much. But because it's been extended, we're just not going to do it. And so if that, you know, bothers somebody, that I'm sorry about that, but that's just what I felt in my spirit that we needed to do. Glory to God. Now watch this. God is so good. The other thing that I wanted to announce is that on Christmas Eve, I'm going to be doing a virtual Christmas Eve service. So at I believe it's 6:30, we'll come up with the exact time. But from my house, I'm going to do a Christmas Eve service. So it's going to be on Facebook Live, right? It won't be on YouTube. It'll be on Facebook Live. And anybody who wants to be involved with that, just come together. We'll sit down. We'll get in the Bible. We'll read some stories. And just, again, celebrate His birth. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, sometimes when we look at different things, I'm excited tonight because my mind is blown every time I think about this and look at it. But going over it again and preparing tonight, I went, "Phew, here we go. Phew, here we go." You know, and something that somebody promises you or somebody that gives you something that in the future, on this day, such and such is going to happen. Just think about, I don't know, in your walk with the Lord, how many times this has been in your history, but in my history, the rapture was supposed to have happened about 6 or 7 times. On this date and that date and this date and that date. I never really got into that because I read in the Bible where no one knows the day or the hour, right? So I never really got into that, but I know a lot of people who did. Now watch this. There was one couple, and they were just a zealous couple. This was way back, like in the early 80s. They just got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and were learning to hear the voice of God. And so the wife got the word from God that on this day, it was a Sunday afternoon, Jesus was coming back, and you better be ready. So, I mean, they were going to everybody that they knew, and they said, look, if this is going to happen on this date at this time, I don't forget, just for story's sake, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, he's coming, you better be ready, right? You're going to go to hell if you're not ready on that date, and you know. And so the anticipation built in them, and they were sure that they were sure that they were sure. They were so sure that mom and dad and the kids were kneeling on their front grass in their yard waiting to be caught away. 1 o'clock came. 2 o'clock came. 3 o'clock came. Well, he didn't, right? So the disappointment in that, oftentimes, if you'll allow yourself to get so wrapped up into something that you're not sure of and you put all your hope in that, it can keep you from standing on what you know is sure. Does that make sense? But tonight, I just got to tell you, this Bible is incredible. This word that was given to us is probably one of the greatest gifts that's ever been. It's so accurate, it's so precise, it's so incredible, And if I was up here tonight, and again, find Daniel and we'll start reading in just a minute. But if I was up here tonight and I said, look, you know, I've got this incredible investment opportunity for you, right? And I've had a few of those. I had one particular instant years ago. We got a hold of this tip on this stock that was just going to be incredible. Put your money into this and it'll be like Microsoft all over again. So we scraped together some money. I haven't seen that money again, you know, because it just fizzled and went out, right? And so that could get you shy from trusting and allowing yourself to become senile or cynical, I should say, senile too, but cynical, so that you don't act on anything that you've been promised. But tonight I want to build your faith on that God is exactly who He said He is. His Word will do exactly what He said it would do. And you can trust that He's right on time. He'll never, ever, ever. He'll never let me go, right? Never let me down. He just won't. Glory to God. So, Daniel chapter 9. And if you know anything about prophecy, Daniel chapter 9 is really important to the study of prophecy. And we'll see why in a few minutes. But just kind of leading into it, this is when Israel was in captivity. And you know all this Daniel and the lion's den and the three Hebrew children and all those stories. Well, Daniel had been reading in the Word of God, and he got to Jeremiah's prophecy. And Jeremiah said, you'll be in captivity for 70 years. But in the 70th year, you're coming out. So he started adding the years up. And he went, "Woo! We're going out. It's time for us to come out." And God has been speaking to him and everything. Let's go to verse 1. It says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Arcus, in the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, Daniel understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord to make a request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." In other words, it's coming up because God said it was coming up. So I'm going to begin to pray about it and fast about it and see what I'm to do to get in line with what God's going to do. All right. And so he went through all of that. And let's go to verse 20. Because he's praying all these prayers. But in verse 20 says, "Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of God." In other words, he's saying, we need to get back. We need to get back to Jerusalem. We need to be able to worship you in the holy place. Because the presence of God, you know, was in the holy place, but that had been decimated and desolate. But he read that it's coming back. We get to go worship again. Is that awesome? We get to, and so he's praying about it. Verse 21. "Yes, and while I was speaking the prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision of the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering." Now watch this. Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, came and it was like he swooped in, flew in. How many would like to have Gabriel just swoop in here tonight? Hallelujah. There's angels in the room, but we just don't see them, right? Can I get an amen? A witness to somebody? You know, over and over and over again, people who tend to see things have seen angels in our services. And I just expect that they're here. But this one, Gabriel showed up, and he's going to say some things to him. And verse 22, it says, "And he informed me and talked with me and said, 'O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand.'" Isn't that interesting? I've come now to give you skill to understand. You've read some things, so you have knowledge, but I'm going to give you the skill to understand. Here's what really interesting. Paul, when he prayed for the church of Ephesians, he said, "I pray that you'd get a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of him." See, there's something about knowing facts, but there's something completely different about having revelation from the Spirit of God. So that's what was happening with Daniel in these particular verses. Verse 23, "At the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, and I've come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved, therefore consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of the sins, and to reconcile the iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy." He's saying, look, 70 years is coming. It's coming to an end. But now watch. I'm so excited. It's so excited. Verse 25. "Know therefore and understand that from going forth to the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the walls even in the troublesome times." In those two verses stand so many incredible fulfillment of prophecy. And if you look at this, again, "there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks." That's a numerical equation that reaches out to 490 years. So 490 years from this date, this is going to take place. And what's going to take place? Jerusalem is going to be restored, but the Messiah, the Prince, shall be there. And he's going to be offered. Did you know that when Jesus went to the cross, it was 490 years after this prophecy was given? 490 years. And Daniel had the revelation of it. What does that mean to us? That means that God's word can absolutely be trusted when it's understood. Right? When we really understand it, when we get it in our hearts, and here's the thing, is I don't believe that you can necessarily stand on a promise that you don't know is for you. In other words, you've heard a testimony of somebody got healed or somebody got delivered or somebody got these finances. You go, man, that's great. If it happened to them, maybe it might could happen for me. Oftentimes we're disappointed because we're not confident that the promise is for us. We get it, well, I hope it is. And then when it doesn't happen, right? When it doesn't happen for us, we get disappointed. And so I don't even know if I believe in the rapture anymore. I was out on my front lawn and I was kneeling and I had my whole family because I thought God spoke to me. But now, man, I'm not ever going to do that again. Right? And that first person that told you, here's a stock you can buy and man, it's going to make you rich. They come the next time and they've got the real deal. You don't want to be dissuaded by disappointment in order to keep you from the fulfillment of what God's got planned for you. Does that make sense to you? Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus is calling right now. It's so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at this. After verse 26, "And after 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, and for the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood till the end of the the war desolation is determined. In other words, watch this. The prince is going to come. The Messiah is going to come, but he's going to be cut off for his people. It's a prophecy that Jesus is coming, but he's coming to die. But he's not coming to die for something that doesn't have purpose. He's coming to die because he's going to take away your sin, which is going to usher you into his righteousness. Come on, aren't you glad that you don't have to go before God and say, "Well, God, here's my case. You know, remember that day I was really good? You know, I slept most of that day, but I was really good that day." No. That's not the point. The point is that God sent Jesus. But we can know that Jesus was the Messiah, that he's the one that took away our sins because he perfectly fulfilled the prophecies that have come forth. Is that amazing? Now watch this. And even in Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul's talking about his own people. And he said, man, he came and they didn't recognize him. He came and he fulfilled, like we talked about last week. We talked about that if just 8 of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled were done by one, the mathematical, statistical possibility of that is almost nil. And we equated it to this because it's the one that I've heard, is that just 8, one man fulfilling 8 prophecies from the Old Testament would be like you taking one silver dollar, marking it, and then filling the full state of Texas 2 feet high. The full state of Texas 2 feet high, blindfolding the man at the Oklahoma border, and him walking to the spot and picking up that silver dollar that had been marked. Jesus did many more than just 8. Why is that so exciting? Because you can go, wait, to the day he fulfilled this prophecy. What does that mean? He's got a prophecy that he's coming back again. And when he comes back again, he's going to take us with him. And forever and ever, we're going to be reigning with him in the name of Jesus. And I can be assured that that's for me. Because he's already fulfilled these. Isn't that exciting? That's so exciting to me. So exciting to me. So when you read in the scripture and you read a promise, you say, Lord, is this promise for me? And you get into the word. And see, the thing that excited Daniel so much was the fact that he read Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, come on, Jeremiah said 70 years. And he said, what's up? 70 years, we're coming to that time. I need to fast and pray and seek God's face to find out what needs to happen. And watch this. He said, we're going to be returned, so I need my people to be ready. And so what was his action? It said that he fasted and he prayed and he interceded and he cried out for the sins of his people. Well, watch this. If Jesus is coming back, and he is, right? Prophecies have been fulfilled, and he could come back any time. Any time. He'd come back before the service is over. No, he'd let me finish. But no. he could come back before the service is over. Or he could come back tomorrow. But the point is, he's coming. He's coming. But what would change if you knew, if you had a date and a specific time that he was coming? Let's say you knew that a week from tomorrow at 7 o'clock he'll be here. How would that change you? Would it change you? What about the people that you know who don't know him? Would there be a motivation in your heart to give him another try? knowing that those who don't know Christ, right, when He comes, are going to be left behind. Do you want your family members? I mean, come on. Do you want any of them to be left? Well, some of them maybe. Billy's back there. Some of them. No. So here's what we have to understand is that He could come at any time. So, Lord, give me opportunities to share Your word with people so that when You come, they're going with me. Right? How many know that people aren't going with them because they're good? Right? People aren't going to heaven because they've done everything right. Or how about this one? Well, you know, he was a lot better than she was. So obviously, she'd be going or he'd be going because, you know what I'm saying? And all of those comparisons don't work. Why? Because the standard is not a standard that we keep. It's a standard that He sets. And He's holy. Do you know what holy means? It means He's holy. It means that sin and Him don't mix. Don't mix. Have you ever seen, I know a few of us have, and this is never a good sign, you open up the radiator cap, and there's this jelly kind of, because water and oil have mixed together. And you go, uh-oh, not good. Why? Because something's cracked somewhere. It's not working, right? Well, sin and God don't go together. So in order for us to get with God and be with God, something had to be done about our sin. But it was. And it was prophesied here that watch this. The Messiah shall be cut off, but not for Himself, but for the people. Jesus on the cross said, Father, Father, why are You forsaking Me? He was cut off from the presence of His Father for the first time in eternity. But not for Himself, but because He took on the sins of the whole world. How do I know Jesus was the Lord? How can I have confidence that the Word is true? Because prophecy has been fulfilled over and over and over and over again. We know He was born of a virgin. We know He came from Nazareth, right? We know that, watch this, that was prophesied that He would ride into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. Come on. How in the world could that be? It could be because God knew beforehand and it was proof to us. And those of us that are saved, when we read the Bible, when we read those things, don't just look at them from the standpoint of, yeah, I know that. We study this every year, Palm Sunday. You know, we do you know, some religious tradition. We put the palms down. We do all of that. Awesome. That's all awesome. But understand that's just another confirmation in my spirit that what God said is true is true. And the gift of Jesus that came will fulfill everything that He said He would fulfill. You might not feel right with God every day. You might get up in the morning and go, ooh, not so much today. Come on. Not so much today. I'm not feeling love today. Come on. But we've got to come back to, it's not about what I've done or what I can accomplish. It's about the Messiah who was cut off for me. Glory to God. Glory to God. And Jesus fulfilled every prophecy that we've been talking about. You know, the Bible said that He would be adored or praised by children. Children would worship Him. Isn't that something? And yet, when they worshiped Him, the disciples were kind of going, stay away from Him. Don't bother Him. And He said, oh no, suffer the children to come unto Me. And how many times he said, no, this has to happen because it must be fulfilled what the prophet said. Every time, that should just quicken your heart, should quicken your spirit. Go, yeah, it's Jesus, all right. It's Jesus, all right. Look at, he did this. So if he did this, and he did this, and he did this, and he did this, then everything else he said must be true. So I can rely on it. If he said he loved me, it must be true. Right? If he said he'd forgive me, it must be true. Because it's for me. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Now watch again. The possibility that this would absolutely happen is just incredible. And this is actually, if you look at this, and this is what all prophecy, and especially end time prophecy, is kind of built around, this particular portion of the Bible. Daniel chapter 9, when you begin to understand it in the light of the revelation of who Jesus is, it gives us great confidence that whether I die or whether I live, I'm going to be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? Amen. So he was born of a virgin. He came exactly when he was supposed to come. He did exactly what he said he would do. Now go to Isaiah chapter 53. See, when we read these particular verses, I want you to take it personally. Not like the guy who went up to the boss, called him in the office and said, well, don't take it personally, but we got to let you go. How can I not take that personally, right? This is my livelihood, but I want you to take this personally because Jesus did this for you. And he fulfilled it in you. So good. Isaiah 53. And we'll just start at the first verse and work our way through. Who's believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as the root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness when we see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. See, this is Jesus. And this Isaiah is talking about his people. He came to us, and this was the outcome. The Messiah, the Son of God, was in Jerusalem preaching. He even said, I'm him. Not to everybody, but to a few, he said, this is me. This is who I am. And they should have known based on the scripture. And the scripture says, watch this. He's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we didn't esteem him. If you read that and you were really seeking after God, you'd say, God, don't let that be me. Right. Say that you were a Jew. You'd been studying the scripture all your life, and you will come across, oh God, not me. Please, not me. Don't let this be me. And yet, the majority of people did this. But they had to for prophecy to be fulfilled. But it was fulfilled. Let's go on. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. Surely, he has borne our griefs. He's borne our griefs. He has borne our griefs. And literally, in the Hebrew, the griefs here is actually sicknesses. Everything that the enemy has meant for evil, God has turned it for good. And surely he has. Take that personal. So if he's taken it, why am I living with it? Right? If he took it, if he did this for me, why am I living? And if it's the same God who prophesied this, said in, you know, this many years, this is going to happen and it happened, why am I not taking him at his word? Right? Come on. Hallelujah. Well, it doesn't look like it. You see, the reason that they didn't take Jesus as Messiah is because they had a perception of who he was and what he was going to do. They didn't realize what God was actually saying. See, there are some prophecies that he hasn't fulfilled yet, and they were mixing the prophecies, and so therefore they thought he was coming to set up his kingdom now. And he did. But they didn't expect the kingdom that he was talking about. They were expecting the one where he's in Jerusalem, he's the king in Jerusalem, and all the rest of the world comes and bows before him in Jerusalem. But he came to set up the kingdom that is now dwelling in you.
Amen.
We are his kingdom, and he dwells in us. He's not just with us, he's in us. Glory to God. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we seem stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. The same God who fulfilled the prophecy in Daniel is describing. See, the Daniel prophecy was when. This prophecy is what? What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Now watch this, because this is incredible. How many have ever felt like God was mad at you? Because you didn't do things right, or maybe you hadn't prayed enough, or God called you to do something 20 years ago and you haven't done it, or you know. And so God can't love me as much as he loves that other person because I didn't do what I'm supposed to do. Don't get me wrong, I want you to do what you're supposed to do. But the reality is the chastisement for your iniquities and your faults were laid on him, so that we are now at peace with him. I have peace with God. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, it says, let the peace of God rule as an umpire. That's the Amplified version, in your heart. What does that mean? That means when a thought comes contrary to what has been said, you go out and you let in what he said. And how do you let that happen? The peace of God that's been given to you because it was laid upon him, the chastisement that was keeping us out of the presence of God. The things, our iniquities, the things that we did wrong, sin of our grandfather Adam was laid upon him. But now, I am at peace with God because Jesus is Lord of my life. What does that mean? There's no longer a wall between us. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I can count on that because the same one that said when and fulfilled that is the same one that fulfilled what? Are you getting it? Come on. Let me do this again because this is so good. We could just stay here all night and we might do that. Surely, verse 4, he was borne our griefs and he carried our sorrows. For we are esteemed and stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We are healed. You know, this is looking forward to that day when Jesus was going to come and do that. We're not looking forward to it. Now we're looking back at it. So we're looking through the cross to where we are right now. My sins have been forgiven because he took them. Come on. My peace, the peace that I have with God, the peace that passes all understanding is because of what he did. Watch this. But also I am healed and I am whole, spirit, soul, and body, because Jesus fulfilled the work. Yeah, but I don't feel like it. I don't care. I don't always feel saved. But I know that I am. Because the same God who is true to his word about the when is true to his word about the what. Are you getting it? Come on. I'm saved and I know it. He's not mad at me. I don't understand everything in life. I don't understand the whys, the hows, the wheres, and the whens. I can't look at life and go, well, this happened because this happened and that happened and this happened. Or this didn't happen and I'll tell you why. It's because this, 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 and this. Some of that is way above my pay grade. In fact, sometimes if you ask God, he'll say, that's none of your business. You know, why did this one go? Why didn't that one go? That's between them and me, and it's none of your business. Did you know, and grief is real, right? Grief is real, and we go through grieving process. And some grief stays with us for a long, long time. But the Bible says that Christians should not grieve as those who have no hope. In other words, if that person has gone, or if that thing that has happened to you that's caused grief in you is the last word, then the grief should remain. But the reality is, even though my mom and dad died over 25 years ago and I miss them like crazy, they're not in my past. They're in my future. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. Glory to God. Glory to God. I think about Ronnie all the time. And I think about, you know, I just loved him to pieces, right? But he was a mess at times. Right? I mean, he was ornery. He was, but I just loved him. And I miss him. But I don't want him back here. Why? Because that would be purely selfish. He doesn't want to come back. Right? But he's waiting for me to be with him. And watch this. When, from my perspective, he's been gone for a long time. For his perspective, he's only been in heaven a couple of seconds. So if I don't die for another 20 years, and I go, and Ronnie's there to meet me. Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, he comes, you know, the way Ron. Yeah, Big Daddy's here, right? If he comes, and it'll be to him like I just saw him yesterday. Right? Because we have the promise that to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. How can we believe that? We can believe that because the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled were astronomical, but yet he fulfilled them and we have record of it. Glory to God. This is the picture in Isaiah 53 of the cross. You know, there's scripture that said that the soldiers would cast lots for his garments. There's scripture that said that pierce his side. There's scripture that said that they'd give him vinegar gall to drink. And we think, well, that's awful. Yes, it's awful from one standpoint, but wow. God spoke it years and years before, and it's come to pass. They didn't recognize it. We don't want to be such that don't continually look into the Scripture so that when He comes, we recognize it. Glory to God. God loves you so much. He loves me so much. Glory to God. It's so incredible when we get into the Scripture and find out what He said, what He's absolutely accomplished in our life. Can I just give you a couple of more from the standpoint, He said this, so this has to be true. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. These aren't necessarily prophecies going forward, but they're statements or declarations of what He's already done. And if He declared it and He said it's mine, then what is it? It's mine. It's mine. How confident could I be that it's mine? The only way that you could be confident that what He said is true is if you have complete confidence in Him. And how do you gain confidence in someone? You look at their track record. Right? Now again, somebody comes to you and they say, you know, back in the day, they say, listen, man, I've been doing a lot of research and a lot of study. And I truly believe that this little company that's in, you know, over in Bellevue, and they're working out of their garage right now. But if you got some money, stick it into Microsoft. Because I've done all the study and I see the trends. And so you put $1,000 in Microsoft when it was first starting up. If you did that today, you'd be a multimillionaire. Right? So that same guy, you missed that boat, but that same guy comes to you and says, listen, there's a little company called Apple. And you've already missed the boat, but you've seen what he's done. The next time he comes, you go, where do I sign? How, you know, I'm going to sell my car, I'm going to sell my house, or whatever I need to do, because your word is proven. Right? So God's word is proven. We've talked about that tonight. So if He promises us something, we go, wait a minute. Doubt? Unbelief? You're a liar. Because if He said it, it's for me, and I'm going to receive it, whether I feel it, whether I see it, or anything. Look at verse 30 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus. Talking about God, the Father. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus. Who's that talking about? Me! That's talking about me. That's talking about me. Because I'm in Christ Jesus. Now watch this. Who became for us wisdom from God. And righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. My wisdom, my sanctification, my redemption is not because of me, but it's because I'm in Him. And so I have it not based on my checkbook, but based on the bank account that's already been written in heaven. So what does that mean? Never again will I say, I don't know what to do. Amen. Never, ever again. Because the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God who will give liberally and upbraid not. Who's He going to give? To those who ask in faith, not believing. This is James chapter 1. Because he who doubts is like the one that's the waves just bouncing across the sea. One day you're here, one day you're there. But when you get to the place where if He said it, I believe it, it's mine. whether I feel like it, whether it seems like the ship is going down, I'm just standing on His Word, and it's for me because I'm in Christ. Right. It might be for Marvin, but it's not for Marvin just because he's good looking. It's not just because he's holy. It's not just because it's because he's in Christ. And if he's in Christ and I'm in Christ, then the same wisdom that's available to Marvin is available to me. The same sanctification that is for Marvin is for me. Are you getting it? And how do I know the how has been accomplished? I can know the how has been accomplished, I mean, because of the when was accomplished. And when the when was accomplished, I know what the what was accomplished. And then when I figure out that those are all prophesied and come to pass, then I can know that it's for me. Glory to God. Jesus, if you said I have wisdom, I have wisdom. Jesus, if you said I'm sanctified, I'm sanctified. Jesus, if you said I'm righteous, then I'm righteous. Jesus, if you said that I'm holy, then I'm holy. It's not about me. It's about the covenant that God made with His Son that I'm now involved in because I believe that He is who He prophesied Himself to be. Glory to God. See, Christmas isn't just about the little baby in a manger. I love Christmas time. But I just love Christmas time. I don't think He was born in December 25th, but it doesn't matter. I love Christmas time, but not for the gifts of Christmas that I get or am able to give. But it's the fact that the gift was given to me by promise from God. And that gift, you know, we did something years ago. It was for the Christmas dinner. And we did a play, like a little play. And we had all the kids in it. But that He was born to die. Jesus' birth was really about Him dying. He was a sacrificial lamb. But He had to be born of a virgin. Right? He had to be born in Bethlehem. He had to fulfill all of these things. But His birth was only the entrance into earth. Now watch this. This is so good. His birth was God's entrance into becoming man so that He could take legal authority on the earth. Now watch this. But His death, burial, and resurrection is our entrance into the heavenly realm, into a relationship with Him, to being everything that He's promised us to be. Glory to God. Glory to God. I know the when, I know the how, I know the what, and I am going to be a partaker of everything that He's promised. I'm not going to let circumstance dictate my joy. I'm not going to let, you know, confusion come in. I'm not going to let any of that stuff, because God is bigger than all of that. Right? Glory to God. I don't care if I go broke. I don't care if any of those things, they don't move me, because God is with me. If he fed them with manna in the book of Exodus, He'll feed me with manna if He has to. My God is my supply. My God is everything that I need. I know His voice, and the voice of a stranger I'll not follow. He's my shepherd, and He leads me. He guides me. Glory to God. Because I know that He fulfilled what God said. And I am a partaker of that. Because I gave my life to Him. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm alive in Him. You're alive in Him tonight. You're alive in Him tonight. Tomorrow when you get up, you go, oh man, I'm in Christ. Think about that. You ought to just go around. You know, I'm in Christ. Do you know I'm in Christ? Do you know I'm in Christ? I'm in Christ. And you begin to figure out what that means. And all of a sudden, it's, woo, woo, glory to God, glory to God. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you in the matchless and the mighty name of Jesus. Our desire, Lord, is just to be grateful and honored that you are who you said you were, and we are who you say we are. I ask you tonight just to bless everybody that's heard. If somebody's heard and doesn't know Jesus as Savior, Lord, I just ask you to speak to them by your Spirit. And if you're there, just ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. He said if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you would be saved. In other words, you'd be in Christ. Not just with Christ, but you'd be in Christ. Do that tonight in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen. Woo!